This is Molly Hemingway of The Federalist. Join me, my husband Mark of Real Clear Investigations, Dr. Robert George of Princeton University, Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, and others for the 2021 Making the Case Conference, Friday, July 23rd and Saturday, July 24th at Concordia University, Chicago. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
Well, the book of Proverbs spends as much time talking about foolishness as it does talking about wisdom. And in the case of Proverbs 26, it talks about a lazy man. Is he just lazy? Is he just foolish? Is he just ignorant? Or is there wickedness, disobedience to God at the heart of his laziness and his foolishness? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Our series on the book of Proverbs continues. We're in the middle of Proverbs 26. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is our guest, pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, creator of the Mad Christian YouTube channel and podcasts, and lead writer of the Mad Christian Mondays. He's author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. Jonathan, welcome back.
It's good to be here, Todd. Thank you.
Remind us again about this book of Hezekiah that we're working our way through.
Right. So I had a friend in seminary who would talk about the book of Hezekiah whenever he wanted to talk about something that was not in the Bible. And I find it hilarious that there kind of is a book of Hezekiah in the Bible. It's just not a whole book as the ancients would have referred to it. But chapter 25 of the book of Proverbs, all the way up to chapter 29, not including chapter 30, right? So through the end of chapter 29, it's all the Proverbs of Solomon. So Solomon wrote them, but it's which the men of Hezekiah, king of Judah, copied. So what that means is somewhere after Solomon and before the exile, during the reign of Hezekiah, they found more of Solomon's work and they addended it to the book of Proverbs. But the ordering of it was not unlike the translation of the King James was, you know, the King's English. Here you have King Hezekiah's theology, the book of Hezekiah. Now, why do I say that? It's just a way to help us remember that chapter 25 through 29 of Proverbs is a unique set that we're kind of digging through here together before you run into, you could call it the book of Agur, chapter 30. I love that chapter. And then the words of King Lemuel in chapter 31, which are also fascinating. We'll get there someday. But we're in these wise sayings of Hezekiah's time that they learned from Solomon and put back together for posterity to remember. And then last week, we got into chapter 26, which really, initially at least, could be called How to Answer the Fool or How to Handle the Fool. The idea is that in chapter 25, your life has been established as someone under the king's authority. You're in the public square. You have to go to court against your enemies sometimes, but you're working to be a wise man. But here's the problem. You know, not all is good out there. You have these things called fools. And then last week, we went at length through chapter 26, verses 1 through 12. The particular fool, the Kasiel, which is not the first fool mentioned in the book of Proverbs, by the way. There's another one. I've been on a little quest here, and I mentioned this last week. I've been on a little quest to find all the words for fool in Proverbs and then learn their Hebrew and their understanding so I can distinguish them. I think that's why it's written. And I've been having a lot of fun, but I've been going kind of slow. I'm not working at like a breakneck speed here. So I'm still learning quite a bit. And what I know is that this word Kasiel in chapter 26, which is kind of the classic fool word, is not the primary word for a fool that Solomon drops in chapter 21 when he says that the fear of Jesus Christ is the beginning of wisdom, but that fools despise learning and instruction. It's a different fool there. So I'm really curious someday, as the Lord wills, as I go back and dig further through chapter 1 again, where that all goes. But in the meantime, chapter 26 is about this Kasiel idea. And this is the Mr. T pity the fool guy. Like this is the guy who you don't want to listen to, who he's probably going to get himself into a lot of trouble. He doesn't mean well. He's ignorant. He's worse than simple because he's chosen to not learn. He's rejected learning, but he's not quite, well, what the King James calls the lazy man. So we ended last week with verse 12. Still about the fool, but it transitioned to this other idea, another category of fool or layer or level are fools like onions. I don't know. But it says this, chapter 26, verse 12. Do you see a man who is wise in his own eyes? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And this guy will show up again immediately in the next verse. This is the section we're going to look at today, really, verses 13 through 16 deeply. It'll show up again in verse 16 when it says this, that the lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. So if you look at that in your text between verse 12 and verse 16, you'll notice that this description of the man wise in his own eyes is a bookend. And it is this lazy man who's, well, he is a kasil, but he's a deeper kind of a kasil. He's what the Hebrew calls an etzel. And we translate it as lazy man. Sluggard is maybe one you've heard before. I like the word double-minded, and I'll try to make that case a little as we go forward here, although that's not a real literal translation. The best literal translation I've come up with is the hesitator. The hesitator. But he hesitates because he's double-minded. That is, he doubts himself. He questions himself. And as a result, he's ultimately a critic to everybody else. And again, verses 13 through 16 will begin to open this up for us. The lazy man, the double-minded hesitator, the etzel, a layer of fool that we are going to learn how not to be by attending to the text.
So how are we first introduced to him? What does the second half of Proverbs 26 say about him?
Right. So let me suggest that verses 13 through 16 are about this guy specifically, and that what follows is going to be kind of layers of this guy. And you don't have to be one to be all of these. They're all different types of, you'd call them sin if you want. Sin in one sense, I mean, we talk about the eternal guilt that needs atonement, but in one sense, sin is also just terrible, terrible mistakes, like really bad ideas, right? And so learning how to not do those, whether they are categorically all part of this same etzel or not, doesn't matter. What we're seeing is that the fool has layers. And then we're going to move from the lazy man into some other kind of edges of what one who's too wise in his own eyes might think of himself. But the specific then, verses 13 through 16, I'm going to read it straight through. It says, the lazy man says, there's a lion in the road. A fierce lion is in the streets. As the door turns on its hinges, so does the lazy man on his bed. The lazy man buries his hand in the bowl. It wearies him to bring it back to his mouth. The lazy man is wiser in his own eyes than seven men who can answer sensibly. And that's, again, Proverbs 26, 13 through 16, specifically on the lazy man, remembering that verse 12 emphasizes the main thing about this guy is he thinks he knows. He's wise in his own eyes. He doesn't need help. Those guys talk about that and they think they know, but I know. That's this guy. And as a result of that, this guy says, and here's, let's look at verse 13. This one almost seems so strange at first glance, right? The lazy man says, there is a lion in the road, a fierce lion in the streets. And you probably know the parable of the boy who cried wolf, not a biblical parable, but the idea being that if you go and shout about there being something that isn't there, you know, a danger, but it's a lie, eventually people won't take you so seriously. And that is indeed what may happen to the lazy man. But the point here is that he won't go outside because he's afraid. So whatever you're going to say, hey man, let's do this today. Let's be about this today. He's going to say, but that won't work. That's the etzel, right? He's double-minded. Before he can see the good, he sees the bad. Before he can build, he must tear down. And this is a habit, right? This is a habit of the heart and the mouth. And the first part of it is you think you know better than everybody else. So when they suggest an idea, you tell them how it's wrong. There's a lion in the streets. Now, in the middle of that, between this idea of you're so wise that you criticize everything, so therefore maybe never get anything done, you're so busy hiding from all the dangers of what might happen, you have this other bit about the door on its hinges and him on his bed, the hand in his bowl, he can't bring it to his mouth. And I got two kind of stories here I want to make sure we get out. Now, one is that I think that the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, so-called, as a mystic, as an ethos, as a cultural spiritual zeitgeist, as or even a juju or a zeal that we've shared, I don't know how, but wrongly, we all think we're lazy. We're not lazy the way the Bible talks about it. And so we don't get the benefit of a lot of these passages because we feel guilty when we read them. And that's really not what they're there for. The Proverbs are not here to make you feel guilty. I mean, you will if you find out you've been a complete fool. Well, then repent and say, Jesus, give me wisdom and teach me not to be a fool. But at that point, stop feeling guilty about it. You know, that's what the point of the blood of atonement of Jesus is that now the guilt has been removed, the stain is washed away. So you can look again at what the wisdom says to be and be something different. And I know this for a fact, that the average Bible-believing Protestant Christian who reads their Bible even a little bit enough to get to this passage where it says that the lazy man turns on his bed like a door in its hinges, well, that person isn't lazy by the time they've gotten to reading this. And so it's not here for you to like feel accused, okay? There's a place to accuse yourself. Go confess your sins at church. Go take the sacrament, right? But while you're studying wisdom, stop accusing yourself and instead see that this is actually what others are doing that you don't want to be a party of, that you don't want to let become part of what you do. And it's easy enough to see if I show you with another story. So Rockford, where I live, and you may have heard it on the news recently, we had a little chemical explosion at a place nearby. It caused a lot of damage. Most people not hurt so far. The air quality is not so good. I laugh because Rockford's, you know, it's a bit of a third world country. It's quite a place. Illinois, well, again, it's quite a place. But there's a lot of poverty here. And that poverty is a combination of Illinois being the kind of communist dream that it is, and also then Rockford having willingly attached itself as a city to South Chicago and the state monies which are pumping welfare through South Chicago. And so Rockford becomes a dumping ground for a lot of South Chicago's problems. That means that our homeless problem is as big as South Chicago's problem, and that kind of vice versa. And same with the violence. All this said, so at St. Paul, we're trying to find ways to not only grow in wisdom and faith in Christ, but then act on this. And one of the ways we've been doing this, the ladies group really doing this, is putting together little packets of, it's like socks and sardines and a bottle of water, things that you can hand to someone who's on the street begging, because we have a lot of them, and you drive by them all the time. You can hand it to them and feel pretty good, like you're not giving them alcohol, you're not giving them cash, right? You're trying to give them something that's going to be good for them. So we've been doing all of this. And anyway, so my wife and I are driving a couple days ago, and I'm on the driver's side, and there's a man sitting by the curb with his sign. And I hand the bag to my wife, and I roll down the window, I think. She reaches out, and he's probably 6 feet away. He can't get himself off the curb to take the free lunch. He kind of just holds his hand out and waits for her to reach all the way across and give it to him. And I said out loud, the lazy man buries his hand in the bullet, wearies him to bring it to his mouth. And the light turned green. We went on. I said, Dear Lord Jesus, pray, be with that man, you know? That's why we're doing this. I don't want to judge him. And yet, I couldn't help but see the wisdom of what the Proverbs say, is that there is a point at which a man becomes such a fool, he has so foreseen all possible problems that he gives up. And honestly, if you have the futility wisdom of Solomon without the joy of Christ, without the knowledge that Christ is risen, I can't blame you for giving up. I would too, I think. But once a man does give up, what can motivate him? Only those barest essential animal needs that can motivate him. And that's a terrifying thing to be in that place, right? So this lazy man, this Itzael, he's one of the lowest of the low here. And there's other proverbs about him in other places. He's, again, the introduction to the layers of fool we're going to be continuing on with. And again, maybe the deepest one. Let me also kind of circle back around here and emphasize that in verse 13, where it says that the lazy man shouts about the lion in the road, what that means is that he is ruled by his fears, right? Which is something that is contrary to being ruled by the fear of Jesus Christ. In verse 14, where it says, as a door turns on its hinges, so a lazy man is on his bed. This is for you to recognize that he's predictable. So you might have a lazy man that works for you. You might have a lazy man that's your boss. You have to learn how to love, pity the fool, right? Deal with the lazy man. And well, the good thing about the lazy man is that he's predictable, and most of his problems that are going on around him are solvable. Like, so a door turning on the hinges, is this a solvable or unsolvable problem? It's a very solvable problem. Now, a little grease will fix that thing right up. So the thing is, you know, an Itzael isn't going to destroy your life unless you follow him, right? And then verse 15, where it was about the bringing it to his bowl and he's too weary to eat. This is the thing about my story with the gentleman on the road. It's hard to pity the Itzael. Like, you're going to have to work to have mercy on this person. They don't deserve it. Straight up, you can't have mercy on them until you acknowledge they don't deserve it. There's not a whit of dessert in them. But nonetheless, that's what you do because you are in Christ, right? So again, verse 15 kind of shows you how hard it is to pity them. And then the real problem for this individual repeated in verse 16 is their own wisdom is greater than God's. That's how they see themselves.
We're talking about Proverbs 26 with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. He's pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois, creator of the Mad Christian YouTube channel and podcasts, and lead writer for the Mad Christian Mondays. He's author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. Here's a little bit from that book. No one comes to the Father except through Jesus. Union with Jesus is union with God, and the Spirit's work to testify about this gift to the world does not come without the body of Christ. For there are three that testify, the Spirit, the water, and the blood, and these three agree. Kind of the thesis of this book, Without Flesh, from Pastor Jonathan Fisk. You can order Without Flesh by giving Concordia Publishing House a call, 1-800-325-3040, or browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. So what other attributes does the lazy man of Proverbs 26 have? We'll find out next. Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life is the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's written by Dr. Mark Wood, Director of Witness and Outreach for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Learn more about Connected to Christ at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June, Connected to Christ, Witnessing in Everyday Life, issuesetc.org or 1-800-325-3040.
This is a message for pastors and lay leaders of Missouri Synod congregations. As we're now rounding a corner on a year of COVID lockdown and measures, how has that affected your attendance and giving? In 25% of our churches, giving has actually gone up. Surprised? Why are some churches struggling while others are thriving? Here at LCMS Stewardship and the whole Office of National Mission Team, we have answers and we have help for you and your church today. LCMS.org/stewardship.
Faith Lutheran School in Plano, Texas is now enrolling for the coming school year. What makes us unique? A confessional Lutheran school offering a classical education for preschool through the 12th grades. Faith Lutheran School features rigorous classes that incorporate a focus on wisdom, truth, virtue, and the historic Christian faith. Live online classes are also available for high school students worldwide. To learn more about Faith Lutheran School or to submit an application, visit flsplano.org. That's flsplano.org.
This is Pastor Leonard Payton of St. John Lutheran Church, Forest Park, Illinois. Forest Park being an inner ring suburb of Chicago. We're a mile and a half south of Concordia University, Chicago, and a 10-minute walk from a metro station and the ends of both the Blue Line and the Green Line. If work is moving you to Chicago, consider joining us. If you're visiting Chicago, come worship with us. It's a church for a great city and a great location. Our website is stjohnforestpark.org.
Sanctifying your housework with the Word of God, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues Etc. congregational sponsor. Catalina Lutheran, Tucson, Arizona. Glory of Christ Lutheran, Plymouth, Minnesota. Holy Shepherd Lutheran, Haslett, Texas. Lord of Life Lutheran, Chesterfield, Missouri. Our Redeemer Lutheran, Emmett, Idaho. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Chatfield, Minnesota. Trinity Lutheran, Fredericktown, Missouri. And Zion Lutheran, Gwinner, North Dakota. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support, Donate, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about Proverbs 26 and the lazy man with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. So, Jonathan, what other attributes does the lazy man have?
So now from there, we go into, and you know, whether this is a direct extension of the lazy man, or whether this is further categories, subcategories of fool. It doesn't spend as much time on any one of them, but each of these next little couplets or sections does seem to have a way in which one who is wise in their own eyes will act. So I am comfortable saying it descends from lazy man, but I just don't want to get dogmatic about any of it. So the first one is verse 17, which says, "He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears." The first time I read this one in the last year, I know I read it when I was younger, but I've been reading through Proverbs again this last year quite a bit. And the first time I came across this one, I immediately realized what a poor job at fathering I'd been doing recently, because I kept getting involved in kids' arguments that I didn't need to be in. And it would cause problems. I come along and try to fix it, and instead I should let them work it out. Now, don't get me wrong. You want to be involved in your kid's life. There's a point at which you need to get involved as the adjudicator, the judge in the kid's life. The proverb, though, is about recognizing that peace in a community will arise when people do get to, are allowed to, have the freedom to work out their own business. Because within a Christian community, they're going to. That's what Christ encourages us to do with his word and sacrament. A group of people praying the catechism every day in fervent belief that Jesus is returning can work it out together. It's possible, right? And so when you see two people who you care about not looking so hot together, stopping in is not a solution. Creating a triangle out of that bipolar problem, right? You're going to triangulate that problem, you know? And so here it is. He who passes by and meddles in a quarrel, not his own, is like one who takes a dog by the ears. Now, this is going to connect very much to the idea of news as it comes out of verses 20 and following. Now, what is someone who reports on something that has nothing to do with them and sends it flinging across the world to, well, let's get to that where it is. But for your own part, if you would like a peaceful and quiet life, learning to hold the tongue, learning to bind the tongue, to pause and wait. That's a huge part of becoming a more peaceable person in general, relaxing in general. And in this, when you're passing by, I mean, you're on your way, it really, don't get involved. You heard something, you want to jump in. No, don't. That's not your place. It's just like taking a dog by the ears. Can you imagine that? I can't, grabbing the dog by the ears and trying to fight the dog. That's horrible. It's a horrible idea. And so that's the point. Be peaceable. Let others have their conversation and join with patience more so. So right after that one, in verse 18 and 19, we have another character. So I call that first one there, the meddler. It's not quite the gossip. They're getting involved. The gossip's kind of coming though. But between this meddler and gossip, you have the joker, maybe. Verse 18 and 19 say this: "Like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows, and death is a man who deceives his neighbor and says, 'I was only joking.'" Now, I'm pretty confident this really just, it means like, if someone doesn't get your joke, usually it means they're confused and think you were rude and they don't know why. I think that's just generally true. So humor is a dangerous thing. It's not that humor is sinful or bad. I don't think that's what this is saying. Although I've really struggled, because you go look up Ecclesiastes 7, 1, 2, 3. I mean, it doesn't exactly say laugh more, mourn less. It says the other way around. But I don't think humor is verboten or anything like that. But to recognize that if you're just trying to be a joker all the time, if you think everybody wants to laugh all the time, what you're actually doing is hurting people left and right. The joker, you know, the class clown, I hope you know this, he is hurting. Usually the class clown is a very difficult life in some way, but beyond that, he's hurting a lot of people, whether he knows it or not. And so it's not something you really want to aim for. And don't believe me, believe the text. Like a madman throwing firebrands, arrows, and death is the one who deceives his neighbor and says, "I was only joking." Now you can say the deceiving part there maybe means this only applies to someone who is willfully lying. I'm going to tell you, listen to jokes for a while. Just start listening for a while. How many of it's truth telling? You know, listen, not many, not as many as you'd think. Yeah? And there's a lot of slander that goes on in humor too. So it's a careful thing. I don't want to set up a bunch of, you know, this or that rules about how you should monitor your comedy or whatever. But again, to recognize just throwing out humor everywhere, well, if somebody's mourning because they're wise, because when something bad happens, mourning's what you do, well, then when you're throwing jokes at them, they're not getting there and you're actually hurting them. And that's really what this one is for. So the joker isn't really a great category to be in at all times. Now, the next section, we've got two more coming here, verses 18 and 19, is the gossip, straight up, or the television, as I like to think of it, the newsman, the person who decides that something far away that's none of your business should be your business in order to make a buck on whatever he's going to sell to someone else to put in there to sell to you. Yeah? It says this, verses 20 to 22 of Proverbs 26, where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. A charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body. Now, verse 22, that last one there, is kind of where I'd like to start this talk, because the idea is that gossip doesn't taste bad. It seems to be really interesting. It kind of tingles the heart a little bit. You're like, oh, I didn't know this. Tell me more. And the problem is that any type of news about anybody's name somewhere else ultimately can be this. And because we are sinful, we tend to make that part of this. And now in a culture, a society, and a world that has made it, what, an industry, an economy to sell you the news, what we have is a place where strife never ceases. Yeah, you follow me? You wonder why you think the world's falling apart. It's because you're listening to people who are selling you a tale that says that it is. The tale in the Bible is a different tale. Nothing's falling apart that isn't completely planned. And so there's a real important insight there. If you do want a calmer, less anxious life, turning off the news is a very easy way to make that happen. It will happen overnight. I don't mean never learn anything or never talk to anybody. I just mean that where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. And yet that fire that we want to go out, the wood that feeds it, that's the tasty trifle that's so easy to eat. Someone says it and you want more. And I tell you, it isn't as if the computer, you know, you're scrolling on Twitter or whatever, all of those things are carefully crafted to taste just right. One might even call them addictive. And they certainly work with addictive chemicals in your brain that they elucidate through the actions and habits that they make you behave with. So, you know, Twitter knows that quite well. They're trying to rule the world like everybody else. Now, in the middle of this is verse 21, though. So we got this talebearer, this gossip, right? Which, again, I'm going to say TV and the news can't not be this at the end of the day. In the middle is verse 21 that says, as charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. Now, here's something that definitely does sound like our lazy man, our Zale from earlier, right? A contentious man. Who you say, let's go out to dinner. And he says, but there's a lion in the streets, right? Like whatever you say, it's not right. Whatever you want to do, it could be done better. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so that guy is to problems. Which, now, let's just take half a step back, pastors and people. So you're sitting in your council and you realize every month, the same guy's always complaining about the same or different stuff, but it's always complaint. Do you know who you have there on your council? He's a Christian. He's probably a Christian. He just hasn't figured out yet what behavior is Christian. Yeah? And that's because his council that he's part of maybe hasn't studied this text enough yet. I don't know. But if that's always happening, you can know that strife won't cease until that individual is no longer allowed to continue to question everything and be contentious about everything. Now, let's take it out of the council. Let's put it in your family at your table. You know, maybe that's you and you need to repent there. But maybe it's what you're listening to. Maybe it's the radio and the TV you've had blasting around your family. Maybe it's what your kids are picking up at school. Again, the contentious man will bring strife. And you do need to know, Christian, that in America today, the zeitgeist, the power of the devil running the civilization has convinced us all to plug into his messaging and programming every day for hours at a time. That would be the stirring up of contention and strife. And again, here, Proverbs 26, 20 to 22 kind of says, you know, that fire don't have to burn. The fire don't quite have to burn as much as you want to. So I think that brings us to kind of the end of this section. What happens next, and I don't know, I don't want to be held to like eternal account on terms of where sections of Proverbs end, but I'm kind of thinking that what chapter 27 deals with begins a little bit more now, which is going to be going back toward that court or really Old Testament talk, toward the gate of the town, the public square. Lutherans, we call this the state in a sense, right? One of the three estates, if you want to talk that way. But the idea is, now that we've realized there's such a thing as a fool and there's these various behavior patterns in which a fool acts, we're going to go back to looking at how we act with everybody, aware that we live in a world filled with fools.
We're talking about the book of Proverbs with Pastor Jonathan Fisk of The Mad Christian. We will get into verses 23 through 26 right after this.
One of the roles a pastor performs in a congregation is helping congregation members get through conflict and difficulty. But what happens in a congregation when maybe the pastor is part of the conflict? What do we do? How do we interact with our pastor in that circumstance? Well, the Reverend John Hill takes up this question in the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness in his article, Peace in the Parish. To order your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit the Lutheran Witness website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you look at the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that many LCMS military personnel and their families are unable to receive Word and Sacrament ministry due to the lack of LCMS chaplains? Ministry to the Armed Forces is looking for pastors who will answer the call to serve as a chaplain to provide Word and Sacrament ministry to the men and women who selflessly serve our nation. Find out more about this exciting ministry by contacting me, Chaplain Craig Mueller, at lcmschaps@lcms.org. That is lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Thanks to Pastor Christopher Berger and Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Columbia, South Carolina, for recently renewing their membership in our Congregational Sponsorship Program. Your Confessional Lutheran Church can join our sponsorship program by pledging $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their mission or advertising budget. Sponsorship benefits include promoting your congregation on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. For more information, visit the support donate page at issuesetc.org. or call 618-223-8385. We're talking about Proverbs 26 with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. Jonathan, you wanted to, in a sense, introduce next time's conversation with the verses 23 through 26 of this particular proverb.
Right. So again, moving toward the gate, we're going to be having a lot of dealing with talking in the mouth. We don't want to be the fool, but we got to know there's also things that are worse than a fool. And that's where verse 23 talks about fervent lips with a wicked heart are like earthenware covered with silver dross. Verse 24, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. When he speaks kindly, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. And then verse 26, we should add on to, though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. That word assembly there, not directly the word ecclesia or church, although it's certainly worth seeing, it is closer related to the word gate and the connection of the gate to the town wall being the place where business was done in the ancient world, the place where men would go during the day when labor was done, when it was hot, and they would hold discourse with each other about life. But what, as we move into that section now, we see that out of this fool, out of this set sail, there comes this guy who is going to be at the gate as a liar. Like, he's not even a fool. And he doesn't just know more than you. He has a wicked heart. And he disguises his lies with his lips. So that verse 25 is the one you want to take, right? When he speaks kindly, do not believe him. You know you're supposed to judge people's hearts at a certain point. Did you know that? I've heard a lot of Christians say, don't do that. Well, you're not supposed to, in the sense of like on judgment day, like they know not what they do. Father, forgive them. That needs to be your modus operandi. But then when it comes to like, do you believe what they say? Right? Do you listen to everything they say as if it's true? That's a different world. And you got to know there are people who hate, who disguise it with their lips, who lay up deceit within themselves, who have seven abominations in their heart and speak kindly to you, whether it be on the TV or a church. I mean, you got to be aware. Now, know that that's going to be revealed by God on the last day before the assembly of all things, but also that this very wisdom empowers you to discern, right? To see the difference between good and evil, to make a decision against fervent lips with a wicked heart. Now, with all that said, that's where we're going next week as we come back and look at Proverbs chapter 26 and 27.
I am a little intrigued here by the connection here, because up to this point in the proverb, you might just think you're dealing with someone who's senseless or foolish, but he does make it quite clear that there is sin in this. This isn't just someone who doesn't know better or should know better. This is someone who is rebelling against God. Talk about that a little bit.
Amen. I've been looking into the word sin a lot recently too. And one of the things that I found in Hebrew is that most of the words that are translated as the word sin in, say, the New King James, and there's like seven or eight of them, or do not carry the singular connotation that the word sin does carry for us in terms of like unholiness or whatnot. They all originally, this is Levitical, by the way, they all originally become or start as what we would call secular things, things that aren't necessarily spiritual in any way. And yet, what is God teaching the Israelites? Is he teaching them that, well, it's just secular, don't worry about it? No. He's saying that sin is something that really has consequences. It's not just an idea about how this world isn't the way it should be. It's that bad ideas create bad things, and man chose to believe at his root a very bad idea, which is that he should fear man, that he should fear the devil. He stopped fearing Jesus. Yeah? And so, yeah, you're not wrong at all. Wisdom is not going to make any bones about connecting sin to stupidity. They're effectively the same thing. And we shouldn't get rid of all the atonement and kind of Lutheran Reformation language that comes with what we were just talking about. You know, there on the cross is my sin, right? We have to say that. We also want to see how that doesn't make it not public or secular either. In fact, secular is the lie. There's no secular. It's all worship. It's all spiritual. And so, yeah, to turn the corner and say all of these things that may not be what he knows he's doing, don't stop them from being evil. And you're spot on there.
Is there any light at the end of the tunnel for this individual?
Golly. I mean, verse 12, where we started, there's more hope for a fool than him, right? I mean, Jesus Christ comes to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. Jesus Christ, be merciful to me, a sinner. What do you got? That's what I got. The blood of Jesus. So the question is not like, what about that guy or that guy? The question is, do you believe? Huh? Did you hear that and realize, I don't want to be that guy? Or were you like, I'm not worried about it? There's not much hope for that guy. That's the point. Oops. But for you who are listening, right, to he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says, which is that, of course, there's hope. And all men are covered in the blood of Jesus. So awaken, believe the gospel. Know that he is risen from the dead. He lives and rules to all eternity. And if you have found within your heart the folly of your carnal man, which we all have, well, then repent and go to church this weekend. Ask for wisdom. James says it. You know, God will give it to you liberally. Liberally.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk is pastor at St. Paul Lutheran Church in Rockford, Illinois. He's creator of the Mad Christian YouTube channel and podcast and lead writer for the Mad Christian Mondays and author of several books, including his latest, Without Flesh. You'll find a link to this book and to the Mad Christian on the Talk On Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Jonathan, thanks.
I got it.
Thursday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Ken Starr about religious liberty in crisis. We'll discuss LGBTQ plus month with Dr. Carl Truman, and we'll get a review of the movie Cruella from Pastor Ted Geese. Well, this lazy man is a warning to us. He is a living, breathing warning to us not to forsake God and his word. What are you left with apart from the true God and his word? You're left with your own devices, and that leaves you not only foolish and lazy, but eternally lost apart from Christ. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper every service every Sunday, preaching Christ crucified and risen, our hope for years to come. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is. 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri. Find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.
Confessional Lutherans are invited to rent a four-bedroom, three-bathroom Table Rock lakefront home in the Ozarks. Table Rock Lake is a premier lake in the heart of the Ozarks for boating, water sports, and fishing. This log cabin-style rental sleeps 12 and is 30 minutes from Branson and 20 minutes from Silver Dollar City. Learn more by calling Swanson Estates, 713-855-2681. Be sure to mention Issues Etc., 713-855-2681.